It's Wednesday, another edition of WeatherWise, the podcast from the meteorologists at 47 ABC WMDT in Salisbury, Maryland, and the Delmarva on the Delmarva Peninsula, part of the Mid-Atlantic here. For those of you who are listening outside of the area, I'm Chief Meteorologist Rich Wordzik. This week's edition of WeatherWise, a special one, as meteorologist Eric Alf interviews Matt DiLoretto, a meteorologist from WPTZ-TV in Burlington, Vermont, talking about the past winter for folks in the Northeast. Now, I know here in the Mid-Atlantic, once again, we saw snow that lacked compared to what we average each winter, although this winter saw a little more snow for parts of Delmarva than we did last winter. But certainly could be said that it was another mild winter for us. But for areas in the Northeast, this was a lot more broad scale as far as it being a warm winter and the lack of snow compared to what they're used to seeing. So we wanted to check in with somebody regionally and get their perspective on how the climate has changed across the area and how this winter was much different for those in the Northeast and how it affected them, much like it did us down here in the Mid-Atlantic. But without further ado, meteorologist Eric Alf with Matt DiLoretto from WPTZ in Burlington, Vermont.
Well, nothing short of a pleasure to introduce a very special guest to the WeatherWise podcast, Matt DiLoretto, a meteorologist at WPTZ in Burlington, Vermont. Welcome, Matt.
Thanks, Eric. It's so good to be here. You know, I find it funny that we both come full circle. We were students at WestCon together, and now
That's right. We both have
jobs in the field we love, you know?
Yep. So we met each other at Western Connecticut State University. We went to the same school, kind of became close there, and, you know, just years later at this point, we're still, you know, close friends, even after, well, after school. But Matt, Western Connecticut State University was not the only school you went to. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
That's right. I actually did 2 years before WestCon at the University of Oklahoma. And the reason I went out there is because, well, a couple of reasons. One of the reasons is because they have a notoriously really good weather program over there. The National Weather Service is on campus in Norman, Oklahoma. And also my mom's side of the family, including my mom, lives out there in Oklahoma. So I just thought it would be a good experience. I have to say, though, I'm a New England guy at heart. And ultimately, when I was out there, I realized that. So I decided to come back home to WestCon. And it's a good thing I did because I wouldn't have met you, right?
That's right. I'm very thankful for that because you're a swell lad indeed, to say the least. But I'm kind of the same way, a Northeast, Mid-Atlantic, New England kind of person. So I'm fortunate to kind of stay in a region that I'm passionate about, you know, these coastal storms and whatnot. But yeah, it's been a great ride together, and now we've gone our ways. And now, kind of fast forwarding now, I want to recap this past winter, because it's been interesting. For the main reason is just how warm it's been. I think for the entire country, actually, it's just been such a warm winter. For us specifically here in Delmarva, we follow the records from the Salisbury-Wicomico Regional Airport. Wicomico is the county that Salisbury is in. They've been keeping records since 1948, and we are ranking at the seventh warmest winter on record, which conveys the theme of how warm it's been, but not as significant, Matt, as where you are. To my understanding, this winter season has been the warmest winter on record, keeping in mind that your records for Burlington go back to the late 1800s. Is that correct?
That's right. 1884, to be specific. So we've got about 140 years of record keeping up here in northern Vermont. Really good to have that. It's great to have the longtime records. And yes, meteorological winter, December, January, and February, right, finished as the warmest on record since 1884.
Now, you and I talked about this a little bit. I think it was specifically in December. There was a stretch of time where our nighttime lows here in Delmarva were actually trending colder than your nighttime lows in Burlington. And the main reason for that was because a lot of stubborn clouds sort of blanketing your environment and keeping those nighttime temperatures warmer. That was around December, right?
Yeah, and even recently we've seen some of those mornings where Burlington has a low temperature that is higher even than places in southern New England like Cape Cod, your region down in the Delmarva. And yeah, I think a couple of reasons for that. One of them being that a lot of times in the Champlain Valley, which is where Burlington is, we have this very strong south wind that stays up all night. It's sort of a funneling effect in this valley that keeps the wind a little gusty. As you know, that prevents radiational cooling, so we stay up in temperatures a little bit. And also, the Great Lakes this year have been mostly ice-free, and a lot of
And I will touch on that later on, but
Oh, okay. But yeah, well, I was going to say that the Great Lakes being ice-free means more moisture available in the air, therefore more clouds, and that's part of the reason why I think we've had such warm nighttime lows, part of what gave us our warmest winter on record.
I was just about to ask if you thought that that had a contribution to elevating the warmth record of this winter.
Yes, because when you look at our daytime highs, you think, okay, we had some impressively warm days, some days in the 50s, even some 60s in late February, which is really unusual. But when you look at the nighttime lows, I mean, we had some lows that were in the 40s, the mid 40s some nights, and that is just absurdly above average by at least 30 degrees. So
That is above the
that's
average
really
high, is
what
it
did us
not?
in. Sorry?
At some point during the winter, that was above the average high. Is that correct?
Yeah, we actually had so interesting. We actually had a low temperature one night of 47,
Oh
and
my
that was
gosh!
1 degree higher than the record high for
Oh
the
my
day.
goodness!
Yeah, I know. I just couldn't believe it myself,
You
but
know what's
those are the
interesting,
kind of
though?
things we were dealing with.
You know what's interesting? Even during the warmest winter on record, you got no shortage of snow. And that kind of ties to where I want to go to next, is talk about the importance of local geography and topography on local weather. And kind of what I was alluding to is I kind of want you to explain kind of how the topography affects your weather. The first things that come to my mind before I let you speak is upslope snow, downsloping and the shadowing effect of drying out precipitation, also downburst damaging wind events. So very localized stuff. What's it like to forecast those kind of events? And if you could think of perhaps a storm or a weather event that really highlights the uniqueness of your topography in your market area, then please share.
Yeah, I mean, I've got several in mind that I'm thinking of, but we'll start with just this winter and the snowfall in general and how different it was in the mountains versus the Champlain Valley. Burlington so far in the Champlain Valley has recorded only about 40 inches of snow this winter, which is a lot less than our average of around 82 inches for the season. But when you go up to the mountains, Sugar Bush Resort, for example, which is around the Waitsfield area, about an hour to our east, obviously a much higher elevation, they had their snowiest January in 10 years. So we had a lot of moisture. It was just so many storms where we had marginal temperatures where it was so close to freezing in the Champlain Valley, didn't accumulate quite so much, but then in the mountains, it was like a powder bomb.
It's one of those situations. I think a lot of times when you get these strong cold fronts, you just get consistent wet, cold westerly flow, and it's probably just snowing for nonstop hours in some of these mountain ranges.
A lot of times we actually get two rounds of snow in the mountains. Sometimes you have
The
initially
onset, probably,
the
right?
onset. Yeah, you have
That's
like a
probably like a
southeast
bit of a wet,
flow.
sloppy snow, and then behind it, you get the dry, powdery snow, right?
Exactly, because then when the wind turns to the northwest, you get the upslope on the other side of the mountains and it cranks. I mean, and you get wet snow and then powder on top, which is great base building for any skiing.
Oh yeah, I mean when you still get snow in what's been a very mild winter, you get feet upon feet of snow in the mountains. So what happens is that you're able to enjoy skiing, and you can enjoy more milder temperatures without the snow melting right away, because you got so much snow on the ground, it's going to take a while for that to melt. So you can enjoy skiing in some milder air without worrying about
Yeah,
too much melting of the snow. It's a great balance.
it's a great balance. I really love living up here for that reason. I mean, as you know, I'm big into the outdoors, love the hiking, love the
I'm the same
skiing.
way.
And yeah, there's just so much of it up here. And I feel lucky that we got the amount of snow we did this winter in the mountains to enjoy, because we struggled to even get a 6-inch storm in Burlington. I think we had one storm that barely got us to 6 inches. That was in early January. And in between that, it was all very little events, 2 or 3 inches at a time. So very unusual of a winter for the Champlain Valley, I will say, up here. Mild temperature definitely playing into that.
Absolutely. It's been an anomalous winter, to say the least. Now, you did mention earlier about the Great Lakes. You don't even have to look at temperature graphs or anything like that to know it's been a warm winter. Look at the Great Lakes. There's no ice. There's no ice.
Yep. They had one of their lowest ice coverages on record, I believe, as a collective area of the Great Lakes. And so many times we would see behind low pressure systems as a high pressure is building in. You expect, oh, high pressure is building in, clear skies are coming, right? Wrong. Many times this winter we would get burned on cloud forecasts because the high pressure would be coming over us. But a lot of times there would be this layer of moisture about 3,000-4,000 feet up.
There's no winds to mix anything.
Barely any wind. The moisture's trapped below a subsidence inversion as the high pressure builds in. And we actually had the cloudiest January on record in the Burlington area.
How depressing is that?
I got to say, man, it was a rough winter. If you like brightness and sunshine,
forget it.
We just didn't have that much of it. And so it was tough. If you got, you know, if you're affected by seasonal depression and stuff, it was a rough winter up here. I mean, I guess the trade-off is the mild temperatures, but it doesn't help when you've got no brightness to wake up to, you know?
Well, Matt, the topography for here couldn't be any more different. In fact, kind of the polar opposite. You'd be hard-pressed to find even a singular hill down here in Delmarva. I will say, though, that the Appalachians do play some kind of role in the kind of weather. Even recently, actually just today when we're recording this, which is Monday, you know, we got an upper trough coming through, cold air advection, and the snow squalls today were just all over the place in Pennsylvania and Ohio. But then, and it was overcast too, rather overcast. What happens is, though, the Appalachians sort of protect us. The downsloping effect protects us from the snow squalls, the snow showers that flow from those Great Lakes. And again, whenever we get these cold westerly, northwesterly flows, just because of the lack of ice in the Great Lakes, it's just been so active. But the mountains protect us. So today, pretty dang sunny with a mixture of clouds, no snow squalls to speak of. So the mountains kind of have an opposite effect for us just because we're on the leeward side of the Appalachian mountain range.
Right. The thing about Burlington is it's in between mountain ranges. So a lot of times you can have downsloping in both directions. But it's funny to look down there and see sometimes you have this, when you look at the visible satellite, for example, you see the wall of clouds coming off the Appalachians. So and then there's just a defining wall. Where it clears up, it clears up just downwind of the mountains. So, I assume it was a much brighter winter down there than it was up here.
No doubt. I felt sorry for you guys. I will say though, in terms of extremely local, I'm talking about right here on Delmarva. I would say our unique geography is more so displayed in terms of the kind of weather we see in the summertime, and by that I specifically mean weather on the mesoscale aspect of things. And there's a couple of...
Thunderstorms,
yes. And there's a couple of events that I want to highlight that have actually occurred during my time here within the initial couple of months that I've been here, which I've been here since July. So I want to go back to August 7th. There's a little town on the western side of the peninsula called Cambridge, basically on the Chesapeake Bay side of the peninsula, and the evening of August 7th, Cambridge was issued a flash flood emergency, and that is because they received up to 4 inches of rain within a span of 3 hours. And the reason for this, first of all, dew points along the bay were in the lower to mid 70s, extremely sticky out there. We had a frontal boundary coming through, and it was a slow moving frontal boundary. And when you look at the radar, as the frontal boundary was crossing through the bay, there's a line of heavy showers and thunderstorms. But what happened is when that complex of rain and thunderstorms crossed the bay, the southern tail of that line started brightening up. You're seeing green turn to yellow, turn to orange turned to red.
A little bit of back building going on there.
The expansion of the rain was explosive, the development. And I think because it was late, there's some kind of thermal differences kind of creating a wind convergence flow along the bay. And I
think, maybe a coastal boundary or something like that.
And I think that wind convergence due to differential heating at that time of the night with the really warm Chesapeake Bay and just the moisture source that the Chesapeake Bay provides. I think that was an example of the influence that the Chesapeake Bay, especially later in the summer, can provide, enhancing the rainfall. I mean, it was just trailing towards the northwest direction as the frontal boundary was slowly coming through, this funneling of Chesapeake Bay moisture along the frontal boundary into that town of Cambridge. It was absolutely insane, and we actually had to cut in because of the flash flood emergency. And also, precipitable water values were over 2 inches as well.
Just think about like how much warmer the oceans were this year on record than average.
We've had instances where areas along the bay reached 80 degree dew points this summer.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
I know. I've never seen anything like it. And there's another event that I think even highlights greater the unique geography of Delmarva, and kind of highlights that the geography of Delmarva isn't anything like any other location in the United States. Because what happened on September 11th, we had an EF0 tornado touchdown for about 2 minutes. It was around a little town called Dagsboro in Delaware. And what happened, first of all, the Storm Prediction Center outlook didn't have any severe weather at all in the outlook. Just general garden variety thunderstorms was the expectation on September 11th.
Oh boy, so you weren't prepared for that tornado warning, huh?
So around 3 p.m., tornado. There's a hook signature, a velocity couplet, even a correlation coefficient drop on the radar.
You're like, where did that come from?
Oh boy, what's happening here? And after some analysis, what appears to have happened was that this first of all, we did have ample low-level moisture. The dew points were in the 70s once again. Cape valleys were over 1,000 joules per kilogram. We had the thermodynamics in place, but the kinematics, I mean, there was zonal flow all the way up to the top of the troposphere. There was virtually no wind shear. And what I think happened is that this was a purely driven sea breeze tornado. So basically, you have northeasterly winds coming off the Delaware Bay. You got the easterly winds off the Atlantic. And then you got a frontal boundary approaching the area with westerly winds. And I think that provided just enough twist at the very lowest levels of the atmosphere to spark what was an EF0 tornado for a couple of minutes.
And sometimes that's all it really takes.
And that day was really eye-opening to me and just how unique the geography of Delmarva is, especially for mesoscale weather phenomena like thunderstorms. And it's really eye-opening to when we get to the warmer months and during the summer and kind of severe weather season, even on days when only garden variety thunderstorms are expected, there's a lot more of the finer details that I think that we here in Delmarva really need to look at when we're anticipating days like that where you may think it's just garden variety thunderstorms. I think that Dagsboro tornado really encapsulated on just how unique our geography is. Not so much topography, like I said, there's anything, but we got a really unique geography, the shape of the peninsula and all the water sources coming together to create some really interesting weather around here in Delmar.
It's a very thin peninsula, so you have the converging sea breezes.
Correct.
Really,
the sea breezes can really add a lot of interesting variables to the weather down here.
Let me ask this real quick. Have you ever seen it do the opposite where the sea breeze just totally kills any thunderstorms that are coming your way? Because I feel like that happens pretty often.
Not that I can remember. You're talking about like creating a stable air with the sea breeze?
Yeah. A lot of times it happens over Cape Cod and Southern
New haven't seen that personally. I can't remember off the top of my head. I guess because when nothing happens, you don't remember it as well as something like an EF0 tornado on a day when you're only expecting garden variety thunderstorms. So, that certainly highlights kind of just how our unique geography and topography can create a set of challenges for the both of us in both of our market areas.
Absolutely. I mean,
speaking of up to you, yes. Speaking of up to you, I want to mention quick the solar eclipse coming up soon.
Oh, yes. Oh,
that's the big. You guys are in the path of totality. And oh, let's hope and pray you guys get a nice sunny day.
Oh, dude, I'm going to say to you right now, the statistics are not in our favor because 73% of all April 8ths in the past have been overcast, at least since we've been keeping records.
You're talking about, right? Some of those stubborn cloud decks.
Stubborn cloud decks, oh, yep, the low clouds. We are just praying that Mother Nature comes through for us this year and just gives us that one day. But what stinks is, you know, last year on April 8th, it was a perfectly bluebird day. So that just immediately lessens our chances of getting it this year. But we'll just cross our fingers and all you can do is hope.
The best for you guys. We'll be at about 85% totality here in Delmarva. Now, we're running out of time. I do want to quickly just kind of look ahead for the next few days before we end it off here. Just looking like unseasonably cool for the both of us. It was unseasonably cool today by about 5 degrees or so. We were stuck in the lower 50s. It was breezy. I know it's rather unsettled where you are. I think you got a lot of clouds, scattered showers. That's my timer. We'll end it off here soon.
We're sort of under the
skies for you. But for us, again, like I said, I think the downsloping effect has helped us. But I think the most interesting aspect is kind of look towards this weekend, where a potential storm may be riding up the coast. We may be looking at some gusty winds, maybe. Again, there's a lot of volatility, but some rain. Maybe for you, as it travels up the coast, may tap into enough cold air. Maybe you'll guys get a good snow event if things pan out well.
What we're looking at is the phasing of the northern branch
exactly.
and the southern branch.
Exactly.
Obviously, if that phase happens earlier, we get a pretty big coastal storm this weekend. If not, maybe just some rain showers for you guys, some snow showers for us. Nothing to write home about, but we'll see.
But yeah, that's pretty much the next major storm. We'll keep an eye on it for both of our areas. But until then, Matt, nothing short of a pleasure. Once again, I thank you for joining us on this edition of WeatherWise.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me, my
friend.
You provided
a lot of great insight for, you know, the people here that don't have a lot of mountain ranges, and I hope I provide a lot of insight for you on how our local geography affects our weather.
You certainly did. It's always nice to share information with you and kind of just talk about our weather experiences.
Absolutely.
That's why we're friends, right?
That is right. Yeah, that's why we united together, but either way, we'll end it off there. Thank you for joining this edition of WeatherWise. And until then, we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
And you just heard that interview there from meteorologist Eric Alf with Matt DiLoretto, meteorologist from WPTZ-TV in Burlington, Vermont. It was certainly some insightful information on how the winter's been for those folks up in the Northeast in the Vermont area. And it's always good to get a perspective from other parts of the region, kind of see how it aligns with the type of weather we have down here in the Mid-Atlantic. So great again, and thank you again to Matt DiLoretto for joining us this week on this edition of WeatherWise. But we'll wrap it up for this week's edition of the podcast. Of course, we do this every Wednesday. So for myself, I'm Chief Meteorologist Rich Forge. I'm going to thank you for streaming and downloading, and we'll talk to you again next Wednesday.